This show is.
Well, let's turn you on.
What happened?
I just didn't turn you on.
Right, let's do it.
This show is brought to you by Onnit.com. Go to Onnit.com and use code word church to get 10% off all.
Wow.
All the great optimization products like Apple Brain, New Mood, Shroom Tech
Starting
Immune.
Starting this motherfucker off right.
And Shroom Tech Sport. Use code word church to get 10% off. You keep interrupting me. You already gave me 2 stars on a joint, so this is what you get. Go to hitesigs.com. Hit letter E, sigs.com. Better tasting, longer lasting. The proof is in the e-cig. Go to hitesigs.com. Proof is in the vape, sorry. Go to hitesigs.com.
What did you say?
I said hit proof is in the e-cig, but it's proof is in the vape.
All right.
When you go to hitesigs.com, use code RedJoey'sChurch to get not 20% off of your order. Now they're doing 5 Hitty Cigs for $50. They have e-cigars and e-cigarettes to choose from. It's code RedJoey'sChurch to get 5 Hitty Cigs for $50. And I have one left. It's NailedItLife.com, also makers.
I don't
even know either. NailedItLife.com, and they're also the makers of Los Gumios Hermanos. Some of the best edibles on the market, 250 milligrams. They'll get you higher than me. Go to nailedatlife.com and use code word Joey Diaz to get 20% off of the premier vapor pen on the market for all of the oil and wax smokers out there. Joey Diaz.
Kick that motherfucking mule, Lee. Oh, shit. It's Monday night. June 22nd, the day the devil was buried at sea, fucked in the ass, lit on fire, given to the Mormons. You know how we do it. Oh, shit.
Rock that shit, Joe.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Suck it. Lick it. Flick it. Stick it. The church of what's happening now, cocksuckers.
Yeah. Joey Togo.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Oh, shit.
Woo.
Tricky Nicky in the house.
Yeah, I can bang to this.
Oh, shit. Lisa yeah. in the house.
Lee in the house.
Are you fucking kidding me or what? Wow. Another fun-filled Monday here in the dungeon here. What's happening? Nick DeToro
All right,
in the house.
Baby. Great to be here.
My man, Lee Syatt in the house. Hey, weekend, brother.
It was good. I saw that movie Dope, which was actually really good.
All right.
We went to the Comedy Store.
All right.
Thank you, Steve Simone. And just kind of hung around. No more Orange is the New Black. We finished that, so it was a good weekend.
That's good.
How was Utah?
Tremendous. Wise Guy's a great club. I went to Shula's restaurant. Shula has a restaurant, the Embassy.
Don Shula?
Yeah, he's got a chain of them.
Not steakhouse,
bad.
Right?
Yeah, steakhouse. Not mm-hmm. bad. Not bad. I think Michael Jordan's steakhouse is better, but I haven't been to that in fucking
He's got one, yet. Too?
At Mohican Sun. Not bad.
Yeah?
Not bad. The seafood tower. I don't have the money. Somebody else took us. I don't know. We were performing there, and some guy goes, go there. You got a meal comp.
I had some Cuban food yesterday down in Malibu.
How was it?
It was good.
What place?
Cafe Habana.
In Malibu?
Yeah. I thought it was more like almost Mexican, but it was a little skirt steak.
What'd you eat?
Skirt steak.
Black beans and rice?
Yeah, black beans,
Hard
fried bananas.
Soft bananas.
Fried bananas.
All right, beautiful. Yeah. How was it?
It was good.
Nothing like Queens?
No.
None like those. Not
like Miami.
Dirty kitchens.
Like where you sent me.
Or Puerto Sagua.
Yeah, Puerto Sagua.
That's the fucking best.
I know.
If I had to go between hands down for the best Cuban food I've had, old school, because I come from a different school of it, it's Puerto Sagua and this little fucking hole in the wall in Edgewater, New Jersey, which was fucking just sensational. I mean, they had everything traditional, which I like.
What was that soup you told me to have?
The Cuban chicken soup? Is that the one?
Is that the one?
With the fideo and the fucking potatoes.
Yeah.
And Lee's going to flip. Lee's
Oh, man. Have you
flip.
Taken them there?
No. No, what's in it?
Just chicken soup. It's a more chickeny broth than like matzo ball soup.
Okay.
And it's got little noodles, potatoes. It's
better than that blood soup the Filipinos eat.
Yeah.
What blood freaking soup? My in-laws make these freaking, they butcher the animals in the backyard, the goat. I had this fucking blood soup one time in South Carolina last year. I said, I ain't eating that shit. The aroma?
What?
Yeah, like death. Like freaking death.
Oh,
I said, I'm not eating that. I eat the roast pig, you know. They're bringing the roast. It's great. There's a liver dip that they bring in with the roast pig. I mean, it sounds nasty, but the dip is unbelievable. Then you take the skin. The father chops up the pig, you know, and the skin is so good. You taste the skin. You dip the skin in the liver dip. Marlon, that's great. I'm telling you, man.
Really? Do they do like the whole pig back there?
They bring the whole pig. No, somebody cooks it. Then they bring it in, right? And you look at the whole pig, and then he takes a big hatchet. You got to know how to cut this sucker up.
Jesus.
They're pros at it. These Filipinos know, you know, this is what they do. They butcher shit.
What is Filipino food? I almost went to one the other week, but I don't even know what it is.
It's like a cross between Asian and
Spanish,
a little
right?
Spanish.
But more primitive animals and shit. Primitive. Goats and pigeons. They'll eat anything.
Hey, there's a lot of Guineas, greaseball Italians that, you know, they cook pigeons and goats and lamb. They take them right in the bathroom. This old Italian guy was telling me his father used to bring the animals, the goats or whatever. Chop him up in the freaking bathroom. He goes, this is the dinner tonight. He told the guy. He used to drown these pigeons. His dad used to drown the pigeons.
Why would he drown them?
I don't know. He was telling me why he drowned. I forgot this. It was a funny story. He's got to tell the story because when he told me how he drowned the pigeons and shit, I would die laughing. You know, I used to catch these blue crabs in Jersey. My friend used to make the blue crabs go to sleep. He rubbed their stomach and shit in the sink. And the blue crabs will go to sleep. Yeah. You gotta know how to handle them. I catch them in the backyard. You know, just put the
how good are the blue crabs with the red sauce?
They're great.
Oh, my God. All fucking day.
Unbelievable.
The
people go insane over there.
Oh, my God, Lee. You gotta tell me.
But the Filipinos, they sit there and they eat those freaking crabs. They know how to eat that shit. It's so tedious. You know, I clean them good because those Filipinos, they leave a lot of the crap in there. I get sick on that shit. I had the runs one time. I'm like, I'm running for my life. I had shit coming down my leg and everything. I was like, I make sure I clean those crabs good.
What's the craziest thing the in-laws have cooked that you looked at and doubted, what the fuck am I doing here?
No, the blood soup, that was one of the craziest things. But
is it red? Is it red?
The smell was, I just couldn't get past the smell.
What would you do if someone brought you blood soup, Joey?
I would die. I can't eat that shit. You know, I don't get myself in those positions because I'm a picky fucking eater.
Yeah.
Like, once I get invited to those parties, I always try to bow down because they're so warm. And they'll ask you to eat.
Yeah.
And you're like,
It's like my cousin lives with us for years. This kid Gabe, he's like Forrest Gump. He's hilarious. One of the funniest guys in America. He eats chicken. He eats the cartilage. He eats the whole shit. He even eats his, I don't know what the cartilage is, but he crunches. He chews on. I go, what are you eating?
It's the cartilage. It's the cartilage.
And he eats everything, the whole fucking chicken. I mean, the guy loves chicken. He was probably a chicken in his past life. This guy eats everything.
Eats the whole fucking thing.
Everything.
In jail, the black dudes eat the chicken till the fucking thing. They don't even let it get reincarnated. Them black motherfuckers in prison, you'll see them for an hour twisting that bone. Like, that's it, enough.
Yeah.
What are you getting out of that fucking thing? That chicken, I can't even make a comeback. He's going to make a comeback with one wing and one hoof.
I thought of you yesterday. There's this guy on Vine, and he took a video of himself at, like, the parking lot of a prison, and you could hear him yelling at the black guys, and the black guys yelling back. Like, the one guy said, like, you're in a gay girl car, like, you have a square, like, square head motherfucker. Like, they're just yelling at each other from the cells to, like, the parking lot. I just thought of you and that story you always tell, but look how just loud they are.
I can never eat a chicken to the end like that.
No,
I don't
me
trust
neither.
It.
I know.
There's a lot of the chicken I don't trust. A lot of part of the chicken I don't trust. When I get a Costco chicken, I eat the white meat, I eat a little bit of the skin, and that's it.
Yeah.
If the wing looks ratty, I'll leave that thing alone. Like, if it's got two or three strings on it, that
now I only like thighs, too. Thighs and legs. I don't like the freaking breasts. It's too dry and shit.
I won't go to none of the fast food joints for chicken. I stopped that a long time ago. Even though I break down once in a while and go to Popeye's.
No.
Popeye's like a motherfucker. They got a wing and a thigh for $1.49.
Give you the fucking runs, Popeye's.
Does it really?
Yeah, it's greasy
with
shit.
With the fucking, one time in.
You're better off going into Ralph's and just say, can I have 25 pieces
Ralph's
and let them make
good
it fresh?
Fried chicken.
You got to get it fresh.
Fresh, yeah. You know who got that for their wedding? You're looking at them.
You.
My wife knew the people, and every time she went, the lady would give her the fresh chicken. Fucking delicious. Ralph's got a thing now. If you got a piece of fish, they'll fry the fish up for you. Very nice, too.
You ever go to Diner's Chicken? It's pretty good, too. By the airport?
Diners?
It's an old school chicken place, Diner's.
By the LAX?
Yeah, it's good. You go in there, you get a whole barrel of chicken. I mean, it's like old school fried chicken. I like good fried chicken.
I like good fried chicken.
I do, man. I'll go to places, you know, if I find good fried chicken.
When I came from Cuba, I used to tear up the Colonel.
Yeah.
But not in front of my mother. My mother wouldn't let me have fast food growing up in New York City, so.
And you can make chicken a lot of different ways, man, you know. Wade Boggs was a baseball player. He ate chicken his whole career for every game. I did a commercial with him. I asked him, I said, did you really eat fucking chicken? Did you eat chicken noon? He was like, yeah. I eat chicken my whole career.
Dog, I got to eat chicken cutlets every day.
Yeah, they got to be
mashed
thin.
Mashed potatoes, thin, oh. With cream corn.
Yeah.
And cranberries, juice, and some club soda in that motherfucker.
Oh, yeah.
God damn.
Get me hungry,
you
man.
You always say cream corn. I don't think
I could
cream
eat chicken,
corn is good.
I could eat chicken cutlets every
You know this
fucking.
Cuban joint made a, they put some like cheese on the corn on the cob. I don't know if it's a Cuban thing. It was very good. It was like a grated cheese.
Yeah, good. Mexicans have that too.
It must
have
been like a Mexican
no, I don't
style.
Like, don't fuck with my corn. Yeah. I like Hotel Bob butter on my corn.
Hotel Bob
butter. A little salt and heavy on the
salt.
Pepper.
Pepper. Yeah.
That fucking corn is brand new.
You know what's good corn? Jersey corn.
Jersey corn. Oh, the sweet shit. But let me
sweet
explain something.
Jersey corn.
The reason why you don't like cream corn is because the people who made it for you just give it to you out of a can. Any professional knows you got to dope that motherfucker up. Okay, you dope it up, and now you go to Vegas, or now my wife makes the cream corn with little pieces of jalapeno on that motherfucker to give it some flavor and some extra butter and some extra salt and pepper.
But is it better than just corn on the cob? Corn on the cob is amazing.
It's amazing, but it's different dishes.
It's different.
Call for different things.
I see what you're saying.
I'm pounding chicken cutlets. I don't have time to fucking put butter. When I consider a corn on the cob, I'm eating it with a baked potato and a nice fucking steak.
Yeah.
Okay, so everything has a different fucking patois here.
I feel you.
How about cream spinach? You like cream spinach?
If it's made correctly. And you know what I like it with? If I tell you what I like cream spinach since I'm a kid, Spam.
Spam is good.
Fried Spam.
Yeah, fried Spam
cream
is good.
Spinach,
no, it's
fresh
not.
Cream spinach.
Fried Spam with
some garlic in that
eggs?
Motherfucker.
I love
shit. Stop it, dog.
I love cream spinach. Spam is not good.
Yes, it is.
It ain't
yes,
bad.
It is.
Tell you what eggs
it
ain't
again,
bad.
You got to dope it up. If you show up like a Gentile and just cut it and fucking, no, you got to put some salt and pepper. Today I made a burger. And I had my wife taste the burger, and she goes, Jesus Christ. I go, I've been asking you for
You put
I
the chopped meat together?
No. I get these burger patties
from where?
Ralph's, 85% nice. I take them home.
You
I put a little
it?
Garlic salt on them. I put a little fucking onion salt on that motherfucker.
Did you grill it?
Heavy on the pepper.
Right.
Then I take it outside, and I grill it, and I put little holes in it so it cooks the inside. And right before that last piece, I take a little butter.
Hey, you want to go to a good
top?
Butcher down at the Grove, in the middle of the Grove.
I'm not doing that.
No, I swear to God.
That's not
going to
happen.
There's
that's
a guy there.
It's not even worth it.
They got a fucking cowboy steak in there. You'll go out of your mind.
And I'll stab
no, it's in the farmer's market.
Listen, I won't
the guy
go
goes to a ranch. He gets this cowboy steak.
That's great. So do I.
I don't think Joey would go to the Grove.
I wouldn't
if
go to
like
the fucking Grove if you paid me, dog.
Yeah, but go there for the butcher.
I won't go there.
He's got these sweet sausages.
Listen to me. The only way I would go down there is somebody's giving $100 bills.
Really?
That's it. I wouldn't even consider
why, detested?
I don't see why I got to drive in that traffic anymore. 52 years of age.
I
got 1 foot in the grave on a banana peel. I'm going to waste 20 minutes to go get sauces. It's going to be Menza Mort. I'm going to New York in September. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you, man.
I'm done. I'm done with fucking driving. Lee knows. Everybody knows.
I don't
knows.
Like it myself.
I'm done. I'm done. Listen, we're done. We were talking before. Last week I fucked up and I had 2 slices of pizza. Lee knows. I'm to the point in my life now where I only eat pizza from one place. That mall over here got Joe's, New York.
It ain't
Joe's
bad.
From Brooklyn,
yeah, it ain't
mall.
Bad, Joe's.
I go over there. That's it.
Is that
I
where
give
you
it
go?
Up on everything.
Else. Where is it when you walk in? I've never seen
downstairs
it.
Downstairs in the food court, all the way in the back. They got them in the dungeon next to the Japanese people that they closed down. But that fucking mall got some food now. They got a cheesesteak place. They got the Chinese place. They got a fucking sandwich place at the end.
Which mall are you talking about?
This one right here on
not
Riverside.
Not even the Galleria. You're talking about the one on Riverside and Woodman.
Riverside and Woodman.
Yeah.
Tremendous
yeah,
slices
that mall.
Of pizza. Yeah.
Yeah, that's where they have the
tremendous.
Joe's. It's
tremendous.
Pretty good.
Pretty fucking good.
It ain't bad.
The other day I went overboard. I had the sausage and the pepperoni because I'm a cheese slice motherfucker. You know me, though. Just give me the cheese. Well, why fuck around?
Yeah.
Anything you put that chicken teriyaki slice next to my slice, I will gouge your fucking eyeball out. You understand me? Don't give me no chicken.
You don't try fusion pizza?
No. Why would I do something like that?
Nah, you don't want to put chicken.
I don't do nothing like that. I don't disrespect.
Have you tried
pizza.
Blaze? The Blaze Pizzeria? They make the pizzas really fast. You can build your own pie.
No.
It ain't bad. It's more like the Chipotle of pizza,
right. Well,
but
them,
it ain't bad.
Let them Chipotle themselves.
Yeah.
I'll stick with Joe's.
Hey, hear you, man.
I break down every 6 weeks with a slice of pizza. I was explaining to Lee.
There is a joint, but if you want to treat yourself in Pasadena called Sette Bello, and it's almost like a brick oven slice. It's not bad. If you want to treat yourself.
No, we go to Ice House once a month, so we'll
so
up
go
there
over
early.
There. Sette Bello.
Sette Bello, where is it?
It's,
and what do you get? What kind of slice you
it's
get?
It's unbelievable. It's like a brick oven slice. It's like, you know, it's the stuff is from Italy. They get all this shit from Italy. It's the real deal.
How's the cheese?
Great. I'm telling you, it's great. I know good pizza. It's a good slice of pizza.
Is the square kind called Neapolitan? Or what
Sicilian.
Is it called? Sicilian. Do you
like
that?
We were growing up on Sicilian. We were raised.
I like Sicilian.
I love Sicilian.
But it's there's an art to that. Not everybody can make a good slice of Sicilian.
If not, it's just bread with fucking sauce on it.
Right.
Yeah.
Some people, like Nick the Greek. The Greek, he made a nice Sicilian. He put it by the window. The flies landed on it. They used it as a takeoff. Every time you got a slice of Sicilian, you got to look for a fly in that motherfucker.
You know, when you make a good square, too, there was a place in my neighborhood called J&S. They made this square pizza, and my dad used to go insane. To, if I could just get the freaking recipe. I'm like, Dad, we're never going to get the recipe. It's been there, still there, J&S. And nobody makes it like them. You know, when somebody makes something unique, you just go, wow, that's a great fucking slice of pizza. You know, just like Patsy's, the original Patsy's, you go to Harlem, it's great. They're still there. The oven is 1,000 years
it's
old.
Still there?
Still there. I mean, you can go in and get a pie for $10. That oven is so old. That's why it's so good, the oven. It's the oven, man. It's unbelievable. I love that. You go to a Yankee game, stop in Harlem, let's go to Patsy's, let's get a pie, and then go to the game.
Eat it on the way?
Yeah, eat it on the way, man. I did that one time with Sandler and all the guys. I don't know if it was long or short or Chuck and I was eating some freaking, they go, where'd you get that? I go, call them now. I said, they ordered all these pies. They were like, holy shit, this is good. I said, yeah, I know how to eat. You guys don't know how to eat. They don't know what to eat. You know what I mean? I had to freaking turn them on. That's what I do, man. I eat. I know good food. I know a good burger. I know a good slice of pizza. Oh, a good sandwich. Something like a good aluga mortadella, a little fucking super sad and fresh buffalo mozzarella. Put a little olive oil. Oh, it's fucking great. A
nice prosciutto, mortadella with some wet
mozz.
Prosciutto
di Parma.
On a fucking nice bread.
Good
a little olive
bread.
Oil. Maybe a roasted red pepper like a motherfucker.
Yes.
Some
unbelievable. Have you ever had that?
His asshole would fucking crumble.
You'd go fucking nuts.
You'd go fucking nuts.
I'm going to get you a sandwich like that.
I'm down.
Oh, my God. With those stuffed peppers, with the mozzarella. Yeah. And they're a little spicy.
The mozzarella. And I'm telling you, a little mortadella. A little super side and a little prosciutto. Oh, my God.
Have you been to Domingo's in Encino?
It's good. Yeah, Domingo's makes a good sandwich.
It's a good place until the guy... See, the last time I was there, I had a bad experience.
Domingo's?
I was having a great time. I was waiting for my sandwich. And all of a sudden, Johnny Gentile walked in there. The whitest guy in America with slippers on and was pissed about his turkey. Why would you go in there for turkey in the first? I wanted to smack him. Mm-hmm. And I kept saying, why don't you go to Subway?
Go to Subway for that.
Go to Subway for turkey.
Jersey Mike's
got every fucking turkey in the world.
Right.
Why are you wasting your time in an Italian fucking place in Encino looking for fucking plain turkey?
Yeah.
Guy was mad. I don't want smoked turkey. Get the fuck out of here. Go eat dick.
Right.
You don't like smoked turkey.
Why is that Domingo's fault, though?
Because that's what I'm saying. Why is it Domingo's fault? Why is this guy in there? If I was Domingo, I wouldn't allow this guy in there with his fucking slippers looking for a turkey sandwich. We don't make turkey sandwiches, all right? Yeah. Go down the fucking corner.
I tried to get you the last time you were in Boston, this place, Umberto's in the North End. It's what you like. They have like a whole bunch of like ready pies and they just stick it in the oven and like they're the big ones. So each slice is really two slices. It's fucking amazing.
No, it's great. A fucking great meatball. When you get a meatball, it's just... My mom used to make it with veal... and lamb and beef, and it would just fall apart. It was magical. What a freaking
meatball.
And when
it was meatball. In the sauce, just
yes,
floating there, and
just
you came
floating
by.
There. Not too big,
stick.
Not too bready.
Oh, my God.
Holy shit.
And you take a piece of bread.
It's like sucking something that's like, you know, you're
God.
Sucking something that's like gold. I mean, you know.
How
good,
long you been an eater? Forever?
Yeah.
When did you just, how old were you when you discovered the greatest thing in the world? What was the
as
first
As I've
thing?
Gotten older. As I've gotten older. I think when I was a kid, I was finicky, and I didn't have great eating habits. I didn't appreciate the food until I was an adult, until I started making my own sauce. Then I named myself Nicky Red Sauce, you know, because I made a great sauce. Everybody was like, hey, Nicky Red Sauce. I was like, yeah. I actually had it in a fucking jar, but it didn't last long because I didn't have any backing, but it came out really good.
Did you go to Shark Tank?
No, Shark. We had a real fucking sauce. I was in 50 stores, man.
Were
telling you? Yeah, it was like a Rao's sauce. It was a high-end sauce. We made it with the pork bone, everything, in New Haven, Connecticut. I'll show you the jar.
You showed it to me.
You remember. I told you about it.
But you didn't go to Shark Tank?
No Shark Tank.
You should have gone to Shark Tank.
What do you got, Charlie Bronson up there?
Yeah.
That's great.
Got to have Bronson
what
on your wall.
What a face.
What a fucking unbelievable.
Just look at that face. I mean, you know, he didn't even have to act. With a face like that, you just show up. You know, when you look at those faces years ago, like, I look at these good faces. I wish I had a face like that. I mean, my face, I have a good face, but those guys had fucking incredible face. Like, these movie stars today, they have no character. There's no Robert Mitchum. There's no fucking... you know, Charles Bronson. There's no
Steve Ernest McQueen. Borgnine.
There's no Paul Newman.
No.
This is all bullshit. I mean, Charles, look at that face. Wow, look at that stash.
Show the people at home the picture.
I'm trying to.
Victor Mature. Oh, my God. My dad resembled Victor Mature. Stud, man. Stud.
Look at Charles, like, right there in that movie. I can't tell what scene that it could be. What is the that mechanic
from? Is that... It looks
to me like The Mechanic. It really does.
Jan Michael Vincent.
Fucking Jan Michael
Vincent. Remember him?
Listen, bro. Jan Michael Vincent. I think Richard Gere, every year he gives to the Jan Michael Vincent Foundation.
Does he?
Sure, because if Jan Michael Vincent wouldn't have stopped drinking, wouldn't have started drinking, Jan Michael Vincent would have still been fucking people up. You watch not the Blue Lagoon, watch the one he did for Disney.
Mm-hmm.
The one before The Mechanic, he did Disney, The World's Strongest Man.
Right.
When he picks his arms up and shit, that was a fucking... He was the original Brad Pitt. Brad Pitt would have to suck his dick.
Yeah.
Brad Pitt in The Mechanic, Jan Michael Vincent, was throwing a fucking heat that nobody had thrown since, like, you know, early Robert Redford or something. That was like a fucking beautiful man.
Yeah.
And he started fucking boozing. That was it. Did you ever see the movie Defiance? He made a movie Defiance about a longshoreman.
No, I never
in
saw
lower
it.
Manhattan. Him, Paulie Walnuts, Danny Aiello. That's how long ago.
Really?
This is 70. If The Mechanic was 73, this was 75.
Was it good?
Ugh. The guy that played the gang leader was badass.
Yeah.
Throw it on, Lee. See if Defiance is on there.
Just like the trailer?
Yeah, who you texting?
I was watching this.
I was going to Periscope.
I'll fucking bite your fingers for a second.
I was watching Deliverance. In the Deliverance, that was a good flick.
That's a good flick.
Man, good acting.
Burt Reynolds was tremendous.
Burt was great.
Defiance, Jan Michael Vincent. See if they got anything. And throw that up. That's an old school movie. And all those guys were in acting class. That's how they probably got that movie.
Yeah.
If D'Aiello, Paulie Walnuts,
mm-hmm.
and there's somebody else young as shit.
Defiance. Must have been an early one that slipped by. Sometimes, you know, these...
1980s, they're saying. I'm going
to
get the
question. You know, here's another name I'm going to throw at you. Whatever happened to Ken Wall? He was fucking good. Remember?
Ken
Wall. Yeah, man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. The
fucking
good-looking
The Wanderers.
Dude. The Wanderers, but he was also in that show on CBS.
Wise guy. My parents, and he was handsome. He could act. I'm the kind of guy. One of my favorite movies. I love that. I wish I was in
the
that.
The Wanderers.
Oh, my God. I told Sandler about that. He was
alone.
Like, you should have been. Leave the kid alone.
Hit it.
That is a badass movie, man. What is this? Defiance?
Look at him, guys.
Oh, shit. That's him?
Look at him.
You're right.
That dude would have busted the bank now, guys. But look, they just remade a video over it.
Oh,
look
so
at the gang leader. No.
Shit.
No, this ain't real, but look at the gang leader. But hold on.
Wait. Keep going.
See if there's something else there.
How do I get this? Is it on Netflix?
I don't know.
This is on YouTube. Let me see if there's another one.
Yeah, dog. He was still hot in this one.
What happened to him? Drugs?
Alcohol. They did a behind the Hollywood whatever about him, and it was really interesting because he was fucking... drunk. I mean, he has no teeth now.
Yeah.
Well, this is when they showed him. He had a bad accident.
Is he still alive?
I'm not sure.
Wow.
Either way, I can get there. Yeah. Hey, you take care of yourself, huh?
Anything else going
on? No, leave it right there. Yeah, this guy, ladies and gentlemen, if you've ever seen Jan Michael Vincent, he was about to blow the fucking bank. But right there, this was there. I don't know what he did after. He did Skywolf, a show for CBS. He recurred on it.
It was a raw deal you got, Tommy.
This is a bunch.
What the hell am I going to do?
Don't you got a godfather? It's in the union.
He tells the 70s movie. Love it.
I'm on suspension.
Oh, shit. Well, you can't sleep on a goddamn docks. I got a brother-in-law. It's got an apartment building in the city. Get yourself a place there. It ain't Gracie Mansion, but it's cheap.
Oh, Jesus. What the hell am I going to do in this city? I hate this place. I can't even breathe here. I ain't got any money anyway.
Yeah, have some more orange juice.
Orange juice. Fast forward to see what else they got.
Yeah,
this is an old...
Can't keep
you hear that type of music, yeah, you got a problem. This is old New York City.
Look at that old, dirty
this
New York.
This is old New York, dirty.
Yeah, but that's really New York. New York don't look like that no more. Check that guy out.
That's the guy from your show, Lee the Officer. Yeah. Oh, my God, I saw him in the James Brown movie. He gained a lot of weight. Craig Robinson.
Oh, yeah. That was a good movie, though.
The James Brown movie? Yeah, I watched it today.
How was it?
Bits and pieces of it.
I like that kid, but I don't know if he's dark enough to play James Brown. I mean, I don't mean dark color-wise.
That kid is fucking good.
He's talented.
Everything that kid does, he's good. He's good in Draft Day.
He's good in 42.
He's good in 42.
Yeah, he was good in 42.
He works hard.
He works hard on everything. They're putting him on everything now. He's going to be on a roll now. He's going to win an Oscar. But you know what I was thinking about Nick the other day? Today, Man on Fire was on. And The Godfather at 3 o'clock.
That's your
double
movie.
Header of death.
That's your movie, right?
Man on Fire. Man on Fire. Please. And I had to work. I had to do a bunch of shit, but I caught the last 10 minutes, which mm-hmm. is the movie. Once he starts blasting the little Mexican.
My favorite is Training Day. I love
really?
Him in that.
That's a good movie.
See, I like him in that.
I love him. I don't know why, man. That's like one of those movies that the more I've watched it, the more I liked it. It was like The Town. The more I watched it,
that's my movie. That's my
I love. That was the best thing he ever did.
He's just evil enough. He's evil in that movie. And it gets
he's right.
Denzel. He gets progressively more evil, and like he's so charismatic, I guess.
Yeah, that you almost like him.
Oh my God.
He's such a low life that you know he's fucking the girl. He's fucking
up until
the kid.
Like the last scene, you still kind of like him a little bit.
Man, when he shoots his friend, breathe, dog, breathe. Yeah. I'm like, what the fuck? I got to tax you a little bit. Yeah, shoot him. Shoot him. He's telling the guy, shoot him. That scene is unbelievable. Bam! He's like, you know, the scene when he goes to the house with all the guys?
The weed money or
yeah, and he's got, I got to tax the guy and all this shit.
Then he gives the mic money to Behringer, Tom Behringer.
Yeah, Behringer, yeah.
And the guy from
they
got to
get the okay and shit, you know.
Those are old.
Yeah, those are good actors, those guys.
And the guy from Scarface who had gum on his shoe when he shot him. The lieutenant, one who shook him down at the bar.
Right.
That's a great scene when he explains.
That's Ulysses Heron, whatever. The guy that was like, you know how this works, Tony? You know that guy? How this works, Tony?
I was going to bring Denzel up.
He goes, don't go too far, Tony. Don't go too far.
Don't go too far.
You can't shoot a cop. Remember that guy?
Oh, my God.
Whoever said you were
one. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Fucking Pacino. Oh, he was great. Fly.
But I got to tell you something. I love Denzel, but I'll tell you who's really a bad motherfucker that nobody gives him enough credit.
Who's that?
And I'm going to say why. Pink Floyd has a song called Pigs, Three Driffin' Ones. I know people are going to get upset with this, but I know you're going to understand where I'm coming from.
The song?
No. Oh. Someday they're going to make a song called... Let's tell the story first. The guy's name is Lawrence Fishburne. I think Lawrence Fishburne is the best black actor. Pound for pound. He squeaks it at the note. You know, at the track. He just beats it. And I'll tell you why. Because he plays three different types of moulinons. Okay? And I can't... But it's the same moulinon. Listen, in the one with walking, remember when he goes...
New York?
Oh.
It's good in that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay? But then he comes back like Ike Turner.
Ike Turner.
Oh!
That's bad.
Oh! And that's a complete different type of brother. Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
And he's great in Boys in the Hood, too, man.
Oh, my God, as the father?
He's fucking great in
Boys
in the Hood.
Guys, he's the most unknowable.
He's not as good-looking as Denzel. He's not as charismatic as that. But I agree with you. He's right up there.
Oh, my. And he's got one other one. He plays a different type of black guy.
He's right up there. He's right up there.
I think his problem might be that a lot of people my age don't know him other than The Matrix. He's been a lot
and the Matrix. I didn't even mention the fucking Matrix.
Yeah, you got to look at his body.
I didn't even look at Apocalypse
Now. You can't always judge a guy on one thing.
No.
Oh, I'm not saying it's fair. I'm just saying it's just like if you ask like someone under 30, they'll probably say it isn't that.
Yeah, but when I was under 30 and I saw Denzel in Glory, I knew there was no turning back. And then I saw him in the movie with you.
Mm-hmm.
The trumpet dude.
Mo Better.
I knew there was no.
That was my first movie. And I was at the
table reading.
I said to my brother, I was nervous. My first movie, I was so excited to be in the freaking room. There was all these great people. Robin Harris. I said, Oh my God.
He took over
the room and he destroyed everybody, including Denzel. My brother said, this guy is a fucking, he's going to become huge. And then he'd fall asleep right at the reading. And then when Denzel was reading and shit, I said to my brother, wow, who is this guy? He goes, oh, he's fucking, he's going to be a big, big star. This is Denzel Washington. we did a scene with him. I remember I wasn't there. It was my first movies. I was out of my light or some shit. He goes, Nick, just move over here, move over there. I was like, oh, okay. He goes, see, my brother goes, yeah, he's looking out for you, Nick. See, he's looking out for you. But I knew, I said, I was working with like a star. I mean, his focus, his look, everything. I mean, I was just, you know, concentrated on what I had to do, but I was like, wow, I'm in the scene with this motherfucker. This guy's hot, man. He's bringing it. When guys show up like that and you're there bringing it, it excites the shit. It's just like when I worked with Red Dog, you know, years ago on Blue, the first year, and we became friends, me and Caruso, and I was like, I knew, I said, this guy is coming with it, you know, because it gets you excited. And that's what people don't understand. When other people are good, you know, he's a star, man. He's a star, and I heard he's a little bit of a, he can be a diva, too. I've heard
he's done now, right? He ain't doing nothing.
Caruso. I'm joking about, Caruso. He got, yeah, he just.
How many seasons of USA Miami?
He got rich taking his sunglasses off and doing, I'm not talking about that.
Oh, my God, that guy was dead in the fucking water.
Yeah,
huh?
Somebody was looking out for him. Somebody up above was looking out for that guy.
Dead in the fucking water, man.
We're friends, and somebody was looking out for him. When I tell you, you know, because the guys that acted that way and threw that away, they never get another shot. Never. So he was lucky that somebody came looking for him. But, you know, that doesn't always mean you're very happy because, you know, he wanted to make it in the movies. That was the thing for him. You know, he used to always say, you know, Nick, we gotta make it on the big screen. This is the little screen. You know, to him, that was his dream. That's why he, like, sabotaged himself, you know. Because he wanted to, like, it wasn't big enough for him. You know, he should have played his cards right, and maybe he would have had a little bit of a
feature
career.
It's amazing how many movies you see, and he's in it early on.
Yeah, he was good character actor early on, but he didn't jump off later on, like when they gave him these starring roles. Like, I think he was just one of those guys that was better on the little screen.
He was good in Jade.
Yeah.
He was good in Jade.
It wasn't a good movie. That's the only problem. It was a shitty movie. The other one was a weak movie, Kiss of Death.
Oh, that was a Kiss of Death.
Yeah, that was weak.
That was that's the one.
That was funny. I like watching that for Cage. Yeah, Cage is funny in that.
Who else? Yeah, Cage is funny in that.
He's actually funny in that.
Hunt?
Huh?
Hunt is in that movie? Yeah, Lauren Hunt, right? What's her name? From the chick from...
What's her name?
Helen Hunt.
Helen Hunt.
Helen Hunt's in that.
Helen Hunt. Yeah, it wasn't a Rappaport. They tied him up and... My friend Rappaport, yeah.
Yeah, Nicolas Cage played the strip club owner with the asthma.
Yeah, yeah. I think they offered that part to my brother. I think he turns down a lot of stuff. Because Caruso was saying, yeah, I got to get your brother. Tell him to do it. I was like, I can't tell him to do it. Yeah, Johnny's like, you can't tell John to do anything. John's a different animal. You can't tell him. But I worked with Cage. I worked with him in the Oliver Stone, the World Trade Center movie. He was a nice guy. A nice guy. You know, Oliver Stone was a bastard. He destroyed everybody. One time, Nick Cage goes, don't worry about it. He calls me Jethro from the Beverly Hillbillies. I said, really, Nick? I said, yeah, this guy's fucking nuts, Oliver Stone. This guy sucks. That guy sucks. He sucks. Everybody sucks. I said, you're fucking naive. I fought back one time. He goes, oh, you're getting mad now. You're getting mad. I like that. I was like, yeah, because you destroy everybody's confidence. If you don't do anything, he'd tell you, you got nothing. Then if you try to do something, you say, you're so over the top.
Did Oliver Stone do the football one?
Yeah, he's always...
He almost got into a fist fight with Dean Cain at the fucking audition.
Oh, he did?
They stood up. They had to break the camera. Yeah. They had to get in the middle
of
him.
He's a bully. What do you call him? I think he had a punch out with him years ago. Woods or somebody. James Woods, I think, had an old movie, Salvador. I think he had a punch out with him. He went over to my wife one day. He likes Asian women. He was rubbing her hair. I said, hey. He goes, oh, how'd you get her? Never mind how I get her. I said, well, you want me to get you an Asian girl? I'll get you an Asian girl. Because it was this girl I knew one day. He goes, can I meet her? Can I meet her? I said, yeah, you can meet her. She was with this fat gangster guy that I know. I said, come over here. Oliver Stone made her like a star. She was an extra. He brought in a fucking trailer for an extra. I swear to God, this guy was nuts. Was fucking nuts. I don't want to work with that guy. He was like, hey, you want to be like Jackie Gleason? You want to ham it up? You're looking in the camera. I go, I'm not looking in the camera. I go, you're smoking too much pot. I'm looking in the camera. You guys nuts. I went back for the callback. He was calling me Timmy or something. He goes, I want you in the movie. I go, you want me in the movie? You call me a different name. He goes, no, but I love the way you talk. Listen to his accent. He goes, he's got a better accent than De Niro. I said, yeah, but get my fucking name right. He's calling me Timmy or Robert. I don't know what the... I said, no. You called me because I know, but this is what I have left. There was a lot of guys in the movie. We had a lot of fun. That was right after my mom passed. That was a hard time.
I'm thinking about when Bill Buffer was here. They kept calling him Bruce Jimmy. Buffer. Bruce Buffer kept calling him like, Jimmy.
Well, it's like when I had a haircutting job when I was not a hair. I was washing Jewish women's heads when I was a kid. And the owner, this is a funny story.
Why were you doing that?
Because it was a summer job, and they said, "Do you want to wash hair?" I said, "Yeah, I'll try it." And I didn't like it. All these Jewish women were yelling at me, "Harder!
How much are they paying?"
Harder,
you?
Not much. I had to sweep the fucking hair and rub these, and I couldn't like, I couldn't even shampoo the hair hard enough. They'd be like, they were very picky Jewish Long Island. I was a kid, young kid. But the owner, his name was Nick. He goes, "What's your name?" I go, "Nick." He goes, "You can't be Nick. I'm Nick." He goes, "Well, what am I going to call you?" I said, "I don't know. Call me Richie." He goes, "All right, Richie." So this was funny. I worked there for like 1 day, 2 days. He'd go, "Richie! Richie! Richie!" I wouldn't answer. I'd go, "Oh, that's me, that's me." All day long, "Richie! Richie! Richie!" And I'm like, "Oh, yeah, yeah." I'm like, "Fuck this, I can't work here. I can't be fucking Richie. My mother almost named me Richard. Thank God." My brother goes, "She was going to name you Richard. Yeah, because, you know, they call you Dick. I don't want to be Richard. Thank God I wasn't fucking Richie."
Excuse me, put that air on, please. I'm dying.
Yeah, I'm dying over here.
Yeah, you got to put the fucking heat on. I tell him every day. He has me in his fucking fits.
It's a good story, right? Fucking Richie. Richie!
Why are you guys fitting? It's not that.
I'm going to use that in a fucking movie one day. Richie! Richie! My brother tries to rob my material. That's funny. Tell me that again. Well, no, I don't want to tell you. It'll wind up in your fucking script. I didn't like that job. I had a lot of, when I was a kid, I'd have a job for 1 day and I would quit after
me
one,
too.
2 days.
Oh my God, I was
a busboy, Lenny's Clam Bar, treated like dog meat. One time, UPS, oh my God, they made you work like a fucking animal, 4 hours for $8, and that was blood money.
Oh, UPS?
Yeah, and
oh
you had to push out about 2,000 packages in an hour.
In an hour, you got to touch them. Although
my father said, "Fucking quit that fucking job." That's he goes, "Your Uncle Mikey, they gave him a truck and he gave him the truck back." He said, "Don't ever work for those fucking people, UPS."
When was this? What year was this?
Oh, this was like in the 80s or something.
I applied for UPS.
Oh, my God.
In 1980, and my buddy got the job.
If I show you have a camera, I'll show you how I had to work. I mean, physically, I could show you.
No, I know how you had to work because he used to tell me, and he's still there. Listen to this. I went with that kid winter of 81. They were hiring for the Christmas holiday.
Yes, for the
holiday.
We
both applied.
Right.
They kept him, do you know, till this day.
Wow.
He's still there.
He made a career out of it?
7 years ago, they gave him 3 point something.
Yeah.
Because his stock options and his vacation, they went public. UPS
really?
Went public.
Wow.
So they had to give him, I talked to his brother, me. That's the kid I robbed the jewelry store with. He became a fucking born again Christian. Now he won't talk to me. But the brother and me is still tight. And the brother tells me that they're trying to get rid of him now because now they're paying him six figures. And, he wasn't even supposed to be there at this point. Look at Nicky. Dope. And
dope.
Shit. He got the shirt from
the
other night.
He got the shirt, yeah. Nah, that's not from the movie. It just is dope. But, Jim
Palmer. Oh, my God, I had. The only job I kept when I was 15, I kept a job working as a hard carrier for an Italian guy. I really liked Mr. Severino. I really enjoyed his. I learned a lot from him. I think of how he ate today. From 7 to 5, he'd have 5 small, tremendous meals.
Right.
But half of what you would get at home, you know.
Mm-hmm. Like that's the way to eat.
A piece of lasagna, a little piece of lasagna, an apple. He'd have a little wine glass. He'd put saran wrap on it for him. He'd have wine at 11 o'clock with fruit. He ate cheese at 1. He ate a really weird diet. And I went back 10 years ago, and there's Mr. Severino. Looking the way he looked fucking 40 years ago when I was a kid.
Wow.
So it worked. You know, he worked that little island diet. He was from Sicily, and he worked that island.
They know how to eat those old
grapes and all that shit.
Yeah.
I didn't quit that. I didn't quit my mom's bar. I liked that. I the other day, I went into, when I went to Shula's, I went in Saturday afternoon to get lunch, and the girl was there by herself, the bartender. She goes, "Thank God you came in." I go, "How long you have this job?" She goes, 3 weeks. It's brutal. She goes, "I forgot. I didn't take the summer into consideration that people don't go to bars in the summer, in the daytime, you know?"
Right.
And I go, "This was my first job. Me, the asshole, I took a job on Saturday days, like the first week of July at this bar.
Mm-hmm.
I made $4 the first Saturday. I went on the second Saturday. I cleaned up a little bit. I go, I got to get the fuck out of here."
What job? I fucking hated KFC. I had that for like a day, maybe a day or two.
What'd you do?
I don't remember. I was in the back with the chicken or some shit. It was bad. It was a bad fucking job. I was like, this sucks.
No, I never worked at a fast food.
Yeah, I did McDonald's a couple of months, but my mom said, oh, you're eating food too much. Quit that job. Then I wound up as a produce kid at King Cullen. That I liked. Except I got sick, so I had to go from the cold to the hot. I was wrapping fruit, and then I started getting sick from going out to the cold. But I liked it in the back. You know, I met some girl with curly hair. Her name was Lisa Ferrara. I remember that one with the big knockers.
You suck her tits in the freezer?
No, I never sucked her titties. Her crazy boyfriend attacked me from the weeds. I remember that girl because she was hot. Oh, my God. Yeah, I mean, just remember those stories. But no, I never held on to a lot of jobs, except when I worked for a hotel. And that was one job that I liked. And then I was a bellman for a summer. And I said, oh, shit, this is not bad. I said, this is
actually... In Manhattan?
Yeah, it was a summer job. My father was there in construction. John was there in construction. And my mom said, why don't you get him a job as a bellhop? It's a new hotel. I just thought I was going to college at home. And first night, I don't know what I made, like 100, 110... I had like a Jewish bankroll. It looked like I had $1,000. My dad opened the door and he said, how much you make, kid? I said, it's right there, dad. Like 110. He's like, what the? Are you kidding? He went crazy. I said, yeah, cash, man. Fucking cash. He's loaded. My father was like, and I was socking it away. My father was like, look at him, that cheap skin. Look at that skin flint, he used to call me. He's saving every fucking nickel. Look at him. I was like, you got me the job. So I was making money, man. I loved it. I was making all kinds of money. And it was a fun job.
You worked 5 days a week?
I was working. It was a summer job 5 days a week. The fun was like at night. Once in a while, I got my friend a job. My friend Ingracia. He was the night man. So once in a while, I would fill in for him at night. But at night, there was no business. So Ingracia even told me, if you ever work for me, Totoro, at night, you got to be like room service. You got to be almost like you got to be a different type of bellman at night. So like, if you go in the menu and you see that there's a bottle of champagne for $65, you know, you could go buy it for $10, $15, replace it with the bar, and then charge the guy $65. Like one time, Count Basie wanted a hamburger. I went to Burger King, Count Basie, and that burger was like $10. I took a Burger King burger. I put it like just in a regular freaking aluminum foil. And he was like, how much? I go, you know, $10, Mr. Basie. He was like, well, why so much? I said, well, I'm room service. Everything's closed, man. 2 o'clock in the morning. You know? At one time, these freaking Iranians or these Middle Easterners wanted women. I never did that before. I went out like my Plymouth Valiant and I found a couple of chicks on the street. I snuck them in. I brought them up to the room. I felt like a pimp, you know? And these Iranians or whatever they were like, not suitable, not suitable. I said, well, fuck you, man, not suitable. I went on the street to get these broads. And they were pissed. They were like, what's wrong with these smelly, ugly bastards? I said, wash I don't them. Know.
Shower.
I know, shower. No, I mean, shower. The men are dirty, not the women.
Oh, the women.
The women were all right.
Yeah, they were ISIS cousins.
I said, you got to pay me. I said, you got to pay me for my service. Fuck you. I ain't doing that again. I said,
they give you money?
Yeah, yeah.
$40?
Yeah, I forget. But I made money at night, but I mostly worked during the day. I mean, you know, I worked during the day. And that later on became a doorman at a different hotel, St. Moritz. But this was on the east side. It was a Helmsley Hotel, Holly Hotel. I liked it, the white gloves, black shoes. I remember telling my friend he got the job. Yeah, I said, come with black shoes. They're going to send your ass home. He comes in with fucking brown shoes. And they sent them home. I thought, I fucking told you to come in with black shoes, man, not brown. But it was a good job. But in a way, it was a trap because, you know, I saw that you could make easy money and shit like that. And then, you know, I didn't want to get stuck. And then when I was looking to make money again, I got back into that hotel business because I knew you could make money in it, you know? But it was, and my brother was like, I don't want to see you get stuck in that shit, Nick. That's a trap, you know?
One of the first jobs I had was a place called J. Har & Sons. They hired high school kids from 2 to 9 or 10 or 11, whatever you could do. It's just a warehouse loading trucks. And I worked with this funny black guy. The guy cracked me up all day. You know, he was a man, you know. But we went out for him and got bottles of blackberry brandy. And, you know, he knew the guy at the liquor store. We smoked weed with him. And when he had a big afro on one night, you had to have one of those things that they put the boxes on and you pick up and...
A hand truck.
We had hand trucks. And he would stock the hand trucks. Then you pull them away and stock them. You had some crew stocking the trucks. And some crew stocking the hand truck. I forget what this guy's name was. And there was a goofy white dude, and he was stocking the things. And the black guy went to bend over, and he let the thing go. And I remember that the hand truck got him in the head like this. And,
oh, shit.
But he didn't get hurt. He didn't bleed or nothing. But the funny thing was when they took him out, the metal from the thing went into his afro. He had like a 4-inch afro. And he walked around like that. Oh, and we couldn't stop fucking laughing for hours. That's my adventure in the warehouse business. I was there for 2 days, and my mother came in there like the second day, and she goes, I just got a call from the high school. You were supposed to go to the doctor. What do you mean you're spitting blood? I was spitting blood. I had what a lung happened? Infection in high school. I got a lung infection, and I went to play football, and I started spitting pure blood. Every time my heart beat, I would spit pure blood.
Oh, man.
And,
that's scary.
They called my... I was supposed to come back to school to the doctor's note. I never did. I thought they would forget about it. Fuck no.
What was it?
In the 70s, they were spraying marijuana with paraquat, a chemical to destroy the fucking whatever it's called, the plant. But some people still picked it and some people smoked it. I was one of those jerk-offs that I got sold to.
Right.
And I got a lung infection. I ended up in the hospital for 13 days.
Oh, man. How old were you?
15, 16, right there in the middle. And those 13 days, whatever, those 11 days in the hospital. I got out the night Ali lost to Holmes, maybe, 79. September of 79, I got out. And Ali was fighting. That's why they threw me out. They're like, we can't take another night of it. Because my friends were coming to visit me. They were throwing furniture out the hotel window. They were showing up with cases of beers, broads. It was fucking crazy, you know?
At 15.
At 15.
At 15?
All these guys were crazy. When I got sick, a lot of people, you know, I had good friends at the time, like high school buddies, and they were showing up and smoking pot in the hospital room and blowing it out the window. And
oh, my God.
It was 11. I tormented them from the first night I got in there. You know?
In the hospital?
Why?
Because the first night I got in, I had never been in the hospital before. I didn't know what to expect. I'm fucking white coat fear. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I have fear. And at that time, I didn't know about breathing. I knew nothing.
Yeah.
All I knew was about fainting. And yeah. I went to sleep finally. I didn't even really sleep good. And that night, I peed the bed. But they had rubber sheets, so everything was wet. I got a fucking drenched.
Oh, my God.
And in the middle of sitting there, I'll never forget, the nurse came and she goes, we got to draw blood. I go, look, you don't want to draw no fucking blood. She's like, yes, we do. We have to draw blood. I go, look, not the way I'm feeling. You say I pissed the fucking bed. I have fear oozing out of me. They're going to be fine.
Yeah.
You're a big kid. We'll do it standing up. And I kept saying, I don't want to give you blood. In those days, they had like a little cart that they pushed.
Yeah.
The nurses were changing the sheets. And I remember this dumb nurse took me outside into the hallway. And she goes, you ready? Yeah. And she strapped my arm. And she put the needle in there. And guys, I swear to God, I don't remember nothing. All I remember is waking up on top of her.
Really?
With the needle in my arm, oh, blood all over shit. My fucking arm. I fainted and took her down with me. The cart tipped over.
Oh, my God.
Tremendous. After that, they had to fucking take blood out of
me. I hate hospitals, man.
Oh, my God.
I hate them. I'm with you.
I fucking hate walking through them.
Me too.
Knock on wood.
I don't want
to ever see anybody.
I don't want to wind up there.
Oh, even
if something happens to me, please don't let it be there.
When I get the surgeries on my knee last year,
I had one surgery on my elbow, and that was like traumatic for me.
I can't spend the night. That's a fucking nightmare. That's a fucking nightmare with those ham and turkeys. Lee likes those turkeys. Lee would come home from see the sign and go, that food was delicious.
I told the guy not to even knock me out. He gave me like Twilight. He goes, you'll be out, but he goes, your eyes were open the entire time.
Jesus.
Yeah, he goes, it was hilarious. He goes, and you were fucking, we became friends, me and this guy. He goes, and you were telling me you were going to beat me in basketball. He goes, I never saw anybody so funny. And then I woke up crying after. I don't remember my eyes being open. I said, my eyes were open? He goes, yeah, wide open. And you talked through the entire operation. I said, that's fucking crazy, man. Then afterwards, I freaked out. He gave me Norco, and I almost jumped out the window.
The pills, Norco?
Yeah, and I went home. I was hallucinating. I was running around the house. I was running around. My brother goes, what's wrong with you? You sound like you're freaking. I said, yeah, I'm going insane. I was taking the thing off the surgery. We were doing, I was doing Chuck and Larry then. And it was I had a little break, and I had tore something right off my elbow. I tore this thing right off the bone. I freaked out. Unbelievable. Traumatic experience.
You're going to put some Tony Bennett on? You're gonna
yeah, put a little Bennett on there.
Put a little Bennett on.
Put a little Rat Pack or some shit.
We're here at the halfway mark. It's Monday. Talking to my main man, Nicky Tricky. Tricky Nicky.
Gene Ammons. There we have Gene Ammons. Oh, yeah.
I want to be around to pick up the pieces.
It's beautiful.
When somebody breaks your heart.
that's music. That's shit today.
Somebody twice as smart as I.
Wow, you can make love to this. I mean, there's fucking music and there's making love music.
This is beautiful, huh? How you feeling, Lisa? What's going on with you? Your dad's coming. You're excited.
He's coming in August.
What'd you send him for Father's Day? You said you sent him a fucking
Billy Crystal book. Yeah, he just started liking to read, so I bought him a Billy Crystal book, a Johnny Carson book, and then actually a pretty cool thing that's on or was on HBO. It's Billy Crystal talking about like the 700 Sundays he had with his father.
He liked that. Nick liked that. Nick enjoyed that.
I sent him that too.
Like, how old is your dad?
63.
He's in good health?
Yeah, he's doing good. He's down in Florida. He's retired. He's
great.
He's having a good time.
You're lucky, man. My dad passed at 63, but I'm saying, you know, stay close to him because you only get one father.
I've started freaking out. Not freaking out, but I've started thinking about it, and then I got this notification on my phone that said I was almost out of voicemail space, but I'm just not deleting voicemails from my parents anymore. I feel like I'd like to have it.
We got to delete a couple. The ones that your mom just called and says, call me back, delete those. Who gives a fuck? She calls you with a good story on the phone and tells you to send you a check. Something like that.
That'd be a good one to keep.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, listening to that Tony Bennett, I'm starting to buy albums again. I'm going to these CD trader stores. I'm into buying albums again because it was just something about having an album. You know what I mean? But not like the CDs, the tapes. They don't. There's something special about the whole event. Put the album on, you know, the record playing. I got the turntables. I'm back into it, man. I'm back into getting albums again. It's that fast. I love it. It just makes me, I don't know, there's something special about that. You know, it's like watching a black and white movie. It's just something beautiful about that whole experience of buying albums again. You know, Louis Prima, Brian Sinatra, Engelbert Humperdinck, all these guys. Pumperdink, we called him Pumperdink. My dad said, yeah, puts on some Pumperdink, you know. I don't know, I like it. I mean, even soundtracks. I bought Scarface. I found the Scarface soundtrack. It's a good soundtrack, actually. Really good.
You know, it's when you talk about albums, you know, like Lee doesn't have a fucking clue. I'm not mad at him. Lee doesn't have a clue about the album experience. Right. Lee came up with the CD experience.
Now today it's even different.
And
it's computer.
Yeah, it's computer where there's no experience. It's just a download.
Vinyl's coming. I just got into vinyl.
Get the turntable, my boy?
Yeah, I have the turntable, and I listened to the first half of Houses of the Holy today.
What'd you think?
It was good. I was doing some work in the.
It was crazy.
Yeah, it was.
First two songs.
Because one of the songs
Dancing Days
is kind of like really melancholy.
La, 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 la.
Maybe that one.
You don't have to go. And then the other way is Dancing Days Are Here Again.
Oh, yeah.
Then it goes into No Quarter in the Ocean, which is the meat and potatoes of the fucking album right there.
Wow. But it's really coming back.
It was a different, I didn't insult Lee when I say he didn't know what the fuck
I'm talking about.
I'm happy that you do have that because it's a different, you know, there was nothing like walking to the record store on a Saturday.
Right.
Okay, you either had a paper route.
Right.
Or you had your 13th birthday. Whatever the fuck, you had cash. And you already know what the album cost with tax.
Exactly.
You knew it was $7.62 fucking cents.
Really?
Right.
You knew.
It's so true.
You knew, Lee. You fucking knew.
That's right.
It's so cool.
You knew. It was like going to buy a pair of Converse. You knew they were $10. I'm going to go get my new Chuck Taylor.
$9.99 plus tax.
That was a lot of money.
A lot of fucking money.
What day did records come out? Is it like a day of the week or day of the month?
Nothing like that. It was like they just came out and you went up there.
Yep.
There was always the fucking jerk off
Sam
in the
Goodies,
neighborhood.
Whatever.
Sam Goodies. Yeah. That got the first album and told you it was good and you couldn't wait till Saturday to walk up there and get the album.
But it was exciting.
It was exciting. You walked home 20 blocks with this fucking album.
Yep.
And you had to walk through a black neighborhood, so you had to hide the album, or you get jumped and they'd take your fucking album. You know, that, I have a friend, Eddie Bravo, and one night I was doing comedy, and he was just talking to me about how when he loved Kiss, he couldn't let the buddies in the neighborhood know that he liked Kiss because they beat him up. How he had to sneak an album home and put it under his bed. He had to keep it from his brother. You know, that's, now you just download something, keep it in your emails, whatever the fuck you keep it on your iTunes list, whatever.
Right.
But just to have the album, to go home, put it on, and to read the album cover and the sleeve, it meant the world to you. What hotel they stayed on the road, who their managers were. I want to thank my daughter, Crystal. You know, they gave you pictures. They gave you lyrics. you know, you paid, but they gave you this thing. Now you have, yeah, now you give me a different experience. I'm not putting down the experience you're giving me now. Now I could go on Twitter and talk to Dave Grohl. You know, I could possibly do something with a celebrity. You know, when I was a kid, you had a picture of Elton John on your wall.
Right.
There was no way of talking to him on Twitter or Facebook or, you know, Instagramming with that motherfucker or whatever.
Yeah.
It was a different experience that you cherish more. It was more personal.
It was personal.
You brought it home, that album cover.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there is nobody that's my age or younger that walks into an album store today and has to stop when they see album covers that you forgot completely about.
Yeah, I know.
You just, and they do something to you. They freeze you in time. Like, you guys are going to be frozen in time when you hear The Infected Mushrooms 40 years from now. You're going to go, I remember dancing in the office for Joey that night, all fucked up. But it's so weird how that, I have always loved that experience. Like, I think of one album that I sat there for hours and looked at. The Doors, American Dream, with the poetry inside and the mm-hmm. and the fucking pictures he wrote, all fucked yep. up. But it didn't matter. You read the Van Halen. I remember still getting a poster in Van Halen 3, the worst album, Women and Children First.
Led Zeppelin album.
The Led Zeppelin.
Cream.
The Rolling Hendrix. Stones with the fucking
thing. My brother
thing.
Ralph had all these albums. I used to look at them and go, wow, this is something. Where'd you get this? Who's this guy? Jimi Hendrix. Orange cover. You know, man, just like, it just blew you away. You were like, you're right. It was just so special to look at it. It meant something. I don't know.
That's great that America's getting back in.
It's good. It's happening.
No, it's great. I knew it would. Because it just makes sense, man. It's too much drama to play music. You know, when I was growing up, all the fucking yuppies, or whatever they were in 1980. Oh, no, it's the real to real, man.
Yeah.
Everything was the fucking real to real.
Then the
real to real fucking came and went like a bullet in the night.
Right.
Everybody kept saying, oh, my real to real. I could hear when the singer pulls away from the mic when he's saying, stop. Stop. Is it, remember the big, what was the big commercial when we were kids? Is it Live or is it Memorex?
Right.
Memorex ran shit back then.
That's right.
You know, and then it went to cassettes, and then it went to CDs, and you know,
I even like the 8-track.
I think that every year they just con people. Look at it, and now it's back to albums. If everybody would have just kept buying albums and kept those needles on the thing, we're right back where the fuck we started from. So I hope you dummies learned a fucking valuable lesson.
And the fucking 45s,
the 45s, the one song and the shitty one.
Oh, one song and the shitty one, right? On the flip side.
And they'd sell, how much of the 45s? A dollar.
They were cheap.
A dollar, yeah, because a dollar.
You know what I love? The labels. You see all the Stevie Wonder song, the colors of the label. I bought this Tom Jones album. It says Parrot has a green. I love the labels of these, the color of them. You got to, I'm telling you.
Very interesting. Lee, you just watched an episode of The Sopranos.
Yes.
When they sell the houses to the people. What happened when they were in the sauna? When they, oh, girl, what did Tony Soprano say to the black guy? The Shylights, the best. And he goes, and the guy goes, the fucked up thing was they were on such and such label with Tony Dorsey. And he goes, no, they weren't. And he goes, okay, and they ended the conversation there. In those days, you knew what label you're.
Yep. He got even more intense. He said like, they only want idiots to think that, or something like really like rude.
Right. What happened was in those days was, they were talking about all that great music came out of New Jersey, Frankie Valli.
Right.
And it was all payola. So what they would do is the mob would make partners with a record company. They'd go to the record, they'd go to the radios, they'd fucking give the radio money to play their music. That's how you make a hit.
Oh.
I can't make a hit unless I play your fucking music.
Right.
So that's how the hits were made. That's how they played your music so you could sell more of it. So all those mobsters, if you watch, Hesh, the Jew, owned the record. Did you see the pilot when the black guys wanted to have a meeting with him?
Yeah, what happened with that? Nothing ever came from that.
Because, probably did, but the Sopranos aren't going to tell you. It's for the imagination. It's like till this day, people sit around and wonder what happened to the Russian in the woods.
Oh, that never gets resolved?
No.
Well, a lot of things were left unresolved.
Left unresolved.
I like that.
Season 4.
I like that.
Your cousin, by the way, is really good. I hate her, but she's really good.
She was very good in the show, yeah. That was a great show. That was really, first for a couple of years, that was show was riveting, I have to admit. It was really fucking.
Listen, if it wasn't for that show, listen, I love Michael Jordan, but if it wasn't for Julius Erving, there'd be no Michael Jordan.
That's right.
Kabish.
That's right.
You know, I love Breaking Bad, and I love Sons of Anarchy, yeah. But it all came from The Sopranos. That character, that guy that could, you know, Ricky Ricardo went home to his wife every night. The guy from The Waltons said, "Good night, John Boy."
Yeah.
This guy went out to a strip club that he was a partner in.
Right.
He fucked other women, and you still watched every week to watch Sony Soprano.
You still liked them.
You still liked them. That was the show. That's the show. Women like your wife will look at him and go, "I'm not going to watch this. This guy cheats on his wife." But you liked him. You fell in love with the character. You fell in love with him so much that you're like, "Ah, who gives a fuck if he cheats on his wife?"
Constantly.
That's a fucking gift. That's a real show that fucking makes you forget about what you stand for.
Exactly. It wasn't like they analyzed it and said, "Oh, this guy is not narcissistic. He's not likable. Other people are going to watch it." And I'm like, the guy was fucking the unlikable guy in the world, but people liked him. They liked him. So if you, that's why the networks wouldn't do a show like that. The networks would never do a show like that, because they're always about, you got to be likable. You got to be, you know, you can't be
that's
unlikable.
That's the gift about that show.
Yeah, but that's what was great about
it. That's what the show was about. He didn't give a fuck. It's a great fucking show.
People always root for bad guys. They root for villains. They love the bad boys. And he was a bad boy that had, you know, he was deep. He wasn't like a one-note guy. So you would justify some of his, you know, flaws. You would be more fascinating by a guy who's not perfect. Much more fascinating. That's why Ralph Cramden used to tell his wife, "I'll punch you right in the face. Go to the moon." You never see comedies like that. You know, you couldn't get away with that shit today. You know what I mean? But he was great. You loved him. At the end of the day, he was a lovable loser. That's what Tony Soprano, they loved that character. He was a great guy and a great actor that did it. And the guy was fucking great. The writing was great, but James was tremendous. I mean, you don't...
You see The Road Warrior yet?
Which one?
Mad Max?
No.
The new one?
No, was it good?
Yeah. The guy was good. I like Tom Hardy.
He's a good actor.
I like that.
He is a very good actor.
He's good. He's good.
Yeah. He's deep.
He's good in that, the one with Gandolfini. The movie sucked.
It was a bad movie.
It was a bad movie, but he was good.
I saw him in the Warrior movie. I liked him a lot. With the brothers. He was like a wrestler. That was a good movie.
That's a good movie.
And there's a movie called Bronson that he did. He's good in that, too.
I turned it on when I had to turn it off. It was disturbing.
It's a little weird, but I liked it.
Did you see that, Lee?
No, I haven't seen
Bronson.
That one. Is it about Charles Bronson?
No. It's about this character named Charles Bronson.
He's in prison his whole life.
He's a notorious fucking criminal, villain of death and all this shit.
I can't believe Gandolfini's gone. That's fucking weird. I remember when he died, it was just like shocking. My brother went to the funeral. He said he never saw so many people crying. It was really, really sad. He was at my mother's wake and everything. He did a movie with John. And I don't know. It was something about the guy that you could tell people loved him. He was a giving guy. Yeah, you know, he gave to the cast. He fought for people. He fought for anything. He wasn't like a douchebag, you know. A lot of guys are not in the position. They don't care about the rest of the cast. They don't care about this guy. He had a big heart, but I think he was a dark guy, you know, deep down. He had a lot of demons. His demons did him in, you know. It's unfortunate, but that's what made him so great, man. I saw him. I remember hugging him in my mother's wake, and I could tell. I said, this guy is a... That's why I was driven to him as an actor, you know. He was a great character actor. Then all of a sudden he got this part, and I was like, wow. I knew he was good, but I didn't know he was that good. He was, like, really fucking good.
He was really good.
He had some weight. You know what I mean? I'm not talking about his weight. I mean, he just had some... He had some real chops. And he was good with women. You know, for a guy that wasn't beautiful, he was a sexy fucking guy with women. Like, you know, he was overweight, he was fat. But, you know, you could love seeing him in bed fucking women and, you know, making love and shit like that. Annabella Sciorra. He had all these wild affairs. The one chick with the one leg. I mean, he had...
Oh, he fucked everybody.
Yeah, he banged everybody.
Now he's fucking the Cuban girl.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, he just hooked up with the horse lady.
The horse lady.
But he was good with women. Crazy. There were some guys that you go, they're good with women. Like, you know, like De Niro. He's never been good with women. He looks awkward with women. But Gandolfini was actually like, he was a sexy motherfucker with women. You know, he just had that sex appeal.
Can you believe the scene between Tony and his cousin asking her about Ralph's sex life?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just a brother and a sister. He gave her $3,000.
He goes, $3,000. He goes, how'd you come up with that figure?
And he goes, I picked one I thought you would say yes to. He said, you guessed right.
He was so mean to the, oh my God, he was so mean at times, you know?
He was mean, but she was crazy. She's just so crazy.
The best her? Is when he fucking, when he goes to put her on the bus and she goes, tell me, what'd you do with him? We buried him up on a hill, overlooking flowers. No, Janice. He fucking sold it, Jack.
Oh, yeah.
He fucking sold it. It's really good to see somebody sell it.
Yeah.
I love to see actors sell it. I was meeting with these writers last week, and we were talking about flashback scenes in movies. And we were talking about, you know what? If the person, if you commit to the flashback, it's a tremendous fucking flashback, you know?
Yeah.
It's tough to do.
Some not people, always easy to pull the flashbacks off. It's not always
good.
They did a lot of that in the show. Some of it was good, and some of it wasn't that. They didn't always nail it, you know? But you're right. Those flashbacks are, you know, sometimes when they're done well, it could be brilliant. But it's not easy. And not easy to do, you know? I mean, like in Godfather 2, it's great. You know, when they do the flashback scenes, it's just beautiful. The way, you know, you just forget. You know, you go from one time to another time, and you're completely with that time. You know, the way they did that, it was just beautiful.
In all the Godfather movies, I think my favorite scene is the end of 2, when they go back to the kitchen, and they're talking about, you know, hurry up, we brought a cake for Pop.
Yeah.
That is, to me...
It's a great scene.
That, to me, is one of the greatest scenes...
Yeah.
...in movie history. And they're like, oh, I...
It's a great scene.
And he goes, I joined to congratulate him. Yeah. Don't fucking encourage him. Yeah. Stupid.
Stupid. James Caan is so good in
it. Oh, my God.
He's so good in it.
But you know, if you went to an Italian house or an Irish house...
It was like that.
...or a house with fucking passion.
Right.
That's the house.
House with passion.
That the mother finally had to come in and go, stop with the fucking fuck. And she's cursing, and she's telling you to stop cursing.
Just like when they're eating in the first one, and Carlo tries to say, you know
I can help you out.
I can help you out. He goes, you know, we don't discuss business at the table. He goes, you know, those niggas are up there riding in the Cadillacs and shit.
We don't discuss business.
We don't discuss business at the table.
But the best line...
But you're right, you know.
They don't... That takes you back.
And you know, that other scene is great when they're all sitting around. I don't know, where's Luca? I don't know, he's shacked up or something.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's
Michael
a great scene.
Up. Yeah, yeah.
That's Michael, a great scene. They're all sitting around.
Know.
Just answer the phone.
They're not expecting me. Yeah,
right.
The fat guy starts laughing. All right. Oh, my God. They all start giggling.
Oh, my God.
Duval starts laughing. Clemenza's laughing.
That guy was great. Richard Castellano.
He lived in North Bergen.
Did he?
Yeah.
Great actor, that guy.
My buddy called in, the assemblyman. That's for the funeral. That's where they had the funeral.
Really?
The funeral parlor. I never saw him. He lived in at the Grinder. Now everybody who does coke lives at this building. It's circular, so they call it the Grinder.
I just saw Pacino on Charlie Rose the other night. Hey, he's great. He's a great interview. He really is. You know, he's very articulate, Pacino. He said some great stuff, fascinating stuff. He was talking about early in his career. He was saying, like, you know, I didn't even think I was so good. And remember, he goes, I didn't even know if I was going to make it this big. And I had a friend that was saying, when good things would happen to me, it should be happening to me, not you. And Pacino goes, yeah, I know. This was his friend telling him, why isn't it happening to me? Why is it happening to you? And Al said, you know, he goes, this, my friend of mine wanted it. He goes, he wanted it. But he goes, I guess I had to have it. He goes, you know, like, my friend wanted it, but I had to have it. And the way he said that, like, you know, like, as much as people are humble and say, I'm lucky, man, but when somebody wants something, that's one thing. It's like a woman. Yeah, I want her, but I have to have her. I have to suck her titties. I have to kiss her. I have to go. I remember I told my brother one time I was doing Bone Bad Blues. I said, this chick, Cinder, she's gorgeous, mulatto. I said, I'm going to kiss her on the mount. He goes, you're insane. I said, no, I'm going to kiss her. Watch, I'm going to go over there. I'm going to kiss her right on the lips. Because I had to kiss her. I had to taste her lips. I didn't want it. I had to have it. And sometimes you just have to have it. And it's a very powerful statement. I don't know, I get lost a little bit thinking about it. But, you know, it's true.
You know what? It's, Lee and I were having a conversation of wanting something.
Lee liked that. I don't know.
Yeah, Lee likes everything.
I'm just worried if there's any assault charges pending that you just admitted to. Or...
Oh, did I? What did I say?
No, but like just having to kiss a girl.
Yeah,
Lee, it was Moan Better Blues. It was 20 years ago. Go back to your coma on the fucking computer.
What the fuck is going to do
Jesus
that?
Christ, Lee, you're worse than Law and Order.
What are you worried about?
He's like a pending dame. He's on my neck.
He's on my neck.
He's on my fucking neck.
Yeah, I charged him $7,000. Yeah.
Unbelievable. You really thought, what are you laughing about? But Lee and I were having a conversation that you could tell.
I love when he looks at the waiter and goes, what the fuck do you want? Fucking gay.
Well, Lee and I were talking about, like, how I felt in 1995 coming back from doing comedy. And
how long are you doing comedy, Joe?
24 years, and sitting there going, what's today's date? Oh, my God, it was last, it was Thursday, 24 years.
The 22nd.
Yeah, 24 years. And I remember doing comedy like 5 years and crying at night. Crying, Nick, crying myself to sleep going, I don't know how to improve in the time. I didn't think in my mind,
right.
I didn't think I had a big window. I had to get good fast. And I know the only way to do that was to get on stage. You have to get on stage every fucking night and write every day. So I got on stage every opportunity. But Boulder, Denver, had a limited amount of stage time. You know, I could sneak up on fucking karaoke night here. I would sneak into an open poetry night one night. Until they caught on, they threw me the fuck out of there. So when, I don't know, when I got cut loose from Denver and I decided to leave and move to Seattle, that pain really, it was the pain of wanting it, man, wanting mm-hmm. to get good, wanting to work, you know.
Right.
I didn't want to be in movies or on TV. I just wanted to be a good stand-up, so I had something to do with my life. I just wanted, right. I wanted to do something with my life, you know. So even if I didn't headline, I didn't care. Even if I got $600 right. a week and lived in my car. I didn't care, Nick, at that time, at the age of 32. I just wanted to get good at comedy, you know. It was a certain pain, and unless you have that pain, you really can't describe it to people.
That's true.
The pain of wanting and yeah. then deciding that you're going to commit to this. This right. is what you're fucking doing.
Right.
Like, just that fucking pain, you know. Like, mm-hmm. you know what, enough is enough. This is what I'm doing. It takes a certain, you know, last week I yelled at Lee, and I didn't apologize to him because he got me mad because he watched 9 episodes of a show, you know. And my argument was, it was a Friday. There's money to be made on a Friday. You cannot sit in front of a TV for 9 episodes. And he knows I love him. I mean, he didn't get mad at me.
Enough. No.
He knows I'm breaking his balls because it's a discipline. It's a discipline right. in your mind that you have to do something every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I know you're with your girlfriend or whatever. You have to take her home and say, I'll pick you up in 5 hours.
Right.
Even if you're just going to go home and whack off on the couch, it's a discipline. You develop a discipline to doing something.
That's right.
And that's very important, you know. We talk about people committing to stuff. Today I went to jiu-jitsu when I was leaving. The guy followed me out to the car and he goes, I got to tell you something, man. I didn't think we'd be having this conversation 2 years later. He goes, I thought you were going to walk out of here for the second week. He goes, every time you come in here, I'm so proud of you. And that's how I was telling Lee started going to jiu-jitsu on Tuesday nights. And I go, Lee, just go once a week. Every time you go, you're beating the odds of people. Because in this country, the way we are today, nobody commits to nothing. Nick, you see it. You see it. They come to you with a fucking TV show. We did this, and we're going to pitch, and all of a sudden they just disappear. And all of a sudden you look them up on Facebook, and they're back in Connecticut working at the fucking highlight thing. And you're like, you were just here telling me you were going to be the next fucking... what was who wrote fucking the tequila guy from Cuba? Whatever his name is.
I have no idea.
The commitment level in this country has gone. People do not want to put in. You know, and listen, I'm not going to fucking lie to you and tell you I was any different. When I was 19, I walked into the electrician's union, and they were like, yeah, the first year you make $15 an hour, 12, whatever, $11.92 was this. And then the third year, and after 5 years, when you're 21, you look at 5 years, you go fuck yourself. You know, even the service, you're like, you know what, I'm going to get shot after a year. So it doesn't really matter. I'm not doing 4 years in the service. Nobody joins the service thinks they're going to last in there for 4 years. But if you commit to something, the time passes so fucking fast. We have forgotten, you know, and that's all I meant the other day, Lee. I didn't mean it in a bad
no,
way.
No, I totally understand.
Or insulting you. Not at all.
I didn't take it like that.
I wasn't mad at you. I was just saying that.
But then after today, look at Mark Maron. Look what he did. Like, you've told me, like, he took a career that wasn't going where he wanted to go.
What was that?
We discussed this, him and I, last week.
Oh, my God.
We have a friend, Mark Maron. Great guy. I've known him in comedy since 97. I had a little tiff with him. In 98 over cocaine, and we discussed on his podcast, and we never talked for a while. I'd see him, I'd say hello. He was great and almost famous. I went up to him and shook his hand and said, you were great, you should really pursue acting, you know. And he was with 3 Arts. He was one of David Becke's first clients at 3 Arts. David Becke's one of the most powerful guys in Hollywood. He's got Louis C.K. and Tracy Morgan and fucking, I mean, he's got all the comedians in that level. They go to 3 Arts. Kevin Hart's with 3 Arts. Those are the people.
That's the place, huh?
That's the place. Yeah. So, you know, he was down and out. Things weren't going his way, which happens in this city. You know, you have peaks and valleys. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you just cannot wait for your fucking agent. Sometimes you cannot wait for your friend who's a friend of Clint Eastwood who said he's going to put you in Jersey, boy. Sometimes you just say, fuck it. He called the most powerful, one of the most powerful guys in the comedy division at Three Arts and said, yeah, I'm working on a podcast. And the guy looked at him and said, what are you talking about? That's fucking shitty radio. And they giggled. The guy took an insult, fired him. And today that guy's Marc Maron, who had a show put on because of his podcast. But Friday, Obama went on it.
On Marc Maron's podcast?
Podcast. Really? In his fucking garage. In what town?
Like Pasadena.
Pasadena.
I think is what yeah.
Obama
like.
Went with the helicopter, the whole thing, to really? Sun Valley.
Wow.
Went in his garage. It was on World News Tonight, him saying the word nigger on the podcast.
Really?
Talking about racism.
He actually had a real conversation.
Real conversation with Obama.
I'm so happy. Wow.
Okay, do you understand me what the magnitude of this is? This is a guy that they looked at and said, the top comedy. This is what I said to you last week when we were having that discussion about starting up. And I said to you, "Don't these guys, these agents, these TV people, they have no idea. It's like they don't have no idea about the internet.
Right.
They have no idea.
Yeah.
They have no idea. They're arguing still. Well, we're going to rate it. They don't even know. They don't know. They don't know. Yeah. YouTube's getting paid. Nobody else. You put a video up on YouTube, they play it a million times, you get $18, you know. My point is, they don't know. This is our genre. This is why they're confused with this. They don't know. We make our own prices. We set our own. We make. Remember when Ike Turner, when Tina Turner put the movie out, the real What's Love Got to Do with It? Ike Turner got pissed off in real life, and he hired a publicist, and he went on an all-out parade. And in New York City, he said, "We're gonna make our own movies. We're making our own movies. We're writing our own books." And that's when the guy said to him, "So is it true? You used to beat up on Tina Turner?" He goes, "I never beat up on her. I just punched in the face a couple of times." He said this at a press conference.
Oh, my God.
"I just punched in the face a couple of times."
Shit.
But that's the problem. That they don't really know. The magnitude of this thing, this is, you know, this is 9 to 5. This is people who go to work and go, this is in the supermarket late night. There's no Howard Stern late night. What do you do if you stock shelves late night? What do you listen to? You can only listen to Alice in Chains so much before you want to listen to these different people, different perspectives, because they have everything. It's not just comedians. It's actors. It's wrestlers. It's doctors. It's people who do taxes. I saw a fucking podcast for taxes last week.
Yeah, they have a podcast.
You know, this is amazing. This is a fucking, a tremendous fucking forum. So that is like groundbreaking that Obama went on this guy's podcast. Mm. And I'm so happy for him. I got to tell you, I'm so fucking happy.
This guy?
Listen, man, you know, sometimes it's great when somebody has a dream and somebody tells them to go fuck himself.
Yeah.
Sometimes when you believe in your dream that much, that's when things happen.
That's true.
That's when things happen, when you believe
you
in this
believe
dream.
In it so much,
when your mother says to you, "You're a loser, go back to your father, work with him. Look, he's worked at the plant for 40 years. And you're like, "Fuck you, Ma.
Right.
I'm out of here. I'm going to the village. I'm painting my face black and I'm singing fucking Earth, Wind & Fire songs. There's a market for that shit." And you never know until you try.
Right.
This guy left Three Arts, an agency that eventually they would have done something for him. They would have put him on the Louis show as a sidekick, something.
Right.
They cast that whole fucking show with Retta on it. That whole show is them. Town and Country, I'm Zari. That's his whole show. They packaged that whole show, Three Arts. He looked around this thing and said, "You're the Hindu, you're on it. You're on it, you're on it." Look at all the people in that show.
Yeah.
Parks and Rec. They're all Three Arts people. That's their show, though. That's what they do. You know?
Marc Maron did something really cool, and I've never met him, but now I like him now. At the end of the podcast, he listed off like everybody who helped him, like the artists, like the guy with the guys for the website, his like producer. But then he also left a lot of money on the table. I don't know if you've listened to it. He only had one sponsor, and I'm not even sure if they were paying him. He said like thank you to Squarespace. So he left like that podcast has probably been downloaded over a million times already.
Really?
It has to.
The
be.
One today with Obama, they broke the bank today.
So how did they get Obama? He has a big. I mean,
no. The article I read said that someone of his staffers was a fan.
Oh, really? Obama was a fan?
No, one of Obama's staffers was a fan of Marc Maron's.
Oh, I see. And brought it to his attention.
Yeah.
Wow.
This is big for the pot. This is it. This is it. Now somebody else might have a beef and might go on Corollas or, you know. And this is what I was saying. It's a different forum. You cannot put a price on this. They don't know how to. This is an easy forum. This is just three gentlemen talking. We just had a great conversation about food, sports, music, you know.
Women, everything.
Women, you know, whatever the fuck you want. Whatever this is a beautiful thing. Let me give some shout-outs and I'll get you out of here.
Ah, beautiful.
Nice and easy, no fucking drama. How you feeling, cocksucker?
2 stars is pretty much my limit. Brad, I don't know how I did 3 stars.
I love you over there in Dublin. Thank you for the kind words today. Corey Layton, Corey Butts. Wolf G, you know I love you. The UFC gym in San Antonio sent us a few T-shirts and some other things.
The UFC gym
is the UFC
different.
Gym in San Antonio. Eric Weidenstrat, smoking Lady J, you smoking dirty bitch. I'll see you this week. Joshua Arambula and Jeffrey Stunk. I think Jeremy Stork. I think that's your fucking name. I can't.
I think I know him.
Right. And then some guy sent me a nice the CD. And they sent me, they smoke a number and play a number. You're all legends, Diaz and Lili. The guy's name is Malt, and he's got his whole band here. We got your CDs in the car. Check out the Polaroid they sent me. I don't know the name of the fucking band. They didn't put it on there. But what are you going to do? You know what I'm saying? You get different strokes with different folks. What's going on, my buddy? So what's your ideal fucking day of food? Give me, like, if you woke up in New York City at 7 in the morning... You drank a little coffee in your hotel room.
Go to a diner.
Where for what breakfast? What, give
I
me
go
the breakfast.
I a nice here. Diner. I get scrambled eggs, or I get 2 eggs over easy, a little bacon, home fries.
No turkey bacon, right?
No fuck turkey. That fuck that shit. Turkey bacon.
Fuck that shit.
Cup of black coffee in a diner. Good black coffee. That's the best coffee. You know what I mean? A little grapefruit. I like a little grapefruit. You know, a little sweet.
Wheat toast?
Yeah, wheat toast. I even like white toast.
Wonder bread toasted with light butter.
Bread, yeah.
Brushed on that motherfucker. Sure. What are you taking notes for? Are you reporting to the feds?
I'm running down what I want to say.
All right. This fucking Googled some brownies.
No.
What else? What do you got for lunch?
Lunch. I get a nice meatball hero. Nice meatball hero. A little mozzarella on the side.
The bread toast is
the
bread
mutz, toast.
The mutz burns on
the
edge.
The mutz burns, yeah.
And the bread is crispy.
Right. Maybe in a slice for a nice slice of pizza.
On the side.
On
absolutely.
The side.
While you're waiting.
Yeah.
While you're waiting for the
and
meatball.
And if I'm hungry enough, maybe I get a little half of a calzone, a good calzone.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. That would be really nice, right? Top it off at night with a nice fucking porterhouse steak.
How many ounces? How much meat can you eat?
I don't like them too big.
You do?
No.
You don't like them too.
No, I don't like them. 12 ounces is good enough for me.
12 ounces is perfect. What do you get on the side? A little baked potato?
Baked potato,
or
yeah.
Or a side of pasta? You ever do the side of spaghetti, pasta marinara? That's it.
Yeah, you could do a little pasta marinata.
Fuck yeah.
How about a little baked clams? Baked clams.
Baked clams, casino.
Yeah,
baked clams.
Not casino, just baked clams.
Baked clams, nice. Nice loaf of bread with some butter.
Loaf of bread, yeah.
Stop. What do you get for dessert? What kind of desserts in your world?
Dessert in my world, a little espresso. I have some Zambuca. And then I get a nice little spumoni, you know? Nice little spumoni. I like a good cookie, too. You know what I mean? I'm like a big dessert, unless it's really, really good pastry. You know, a good piece of pie.
Let's see what Lunatic's going to fucking say. Go ahead. What shit menu are you going
to
put?
No, you go first. I'm still
No, I'm thinking, what's for breakfast? Go ahead.
Okay. I like egg, bacon, and cheese sandwiches, but I like them when you put hash browns inside. That's what I want.
That's what I'm dealing with here.
Yeah. What's wrong with that?
Disgusting.
Now, you know, when I make scrambled eggs, I got a trick. And everybody goes crazy over them. You know what I do?
What do you do?
I burn the butter with oil, olive oil. I put butter, then I put olive oil, right? Butter, then olive oil. Then I let it smoke. It has to smoke up like the fire alarms go off. The alarms go off. They're smoking. So I scramble the eggs, then throw the eggs in, turn them fucking quick. You gotta, because then they get a dark color. The eggs are dark, and the taste... No, these don't taste like scrambled eggs. Because I burn the butter with the butter and the olive oil, and then I throw it in a high flame, but I flick it fast, and it's dark. You never taste the scrambled eggs. It tastes close to the diner type of eggs. But everybody goes, can you make the scrambled eggs? I go, yeah, because they don't taste like...
You put ketchup on your scrambled eggs?
If you want, afterwards.
With some white bread.
I like pepper.
Oh, that sandwich is good, too.
A lot of pepper.
Scrambled eggs with some ketchup on that motherfucker.
And bread, yeah.
Tell you what's good too. It's a good, nice slice, thin slice French toast. You know, nice or even a pancake.
I'm more of a pancake person.
But it's got to be thin pancakes. There's an art to making those thin. I don't like a big fat thick. Big fat. I'm like, I don't want that. I want no part of that thick pancake. It needs a thin. Everything's got to be thin to me. Even French toast should be. I don't like it too thick. I like it thin. Yeah. But I also like the syrup too, the old fashioned syrup. I like that old
Aunt Jemima.
Aunt Jemima. That's just or the other one. Or there's another one that
Mrs. Kettlewort.
Something like that. I forget.
No, the maple, the one. I know which one you're talking about. There's some good maple.
You know what I'm
syrup.
Talking about.
That shit you get in the Bronx and shit. You get yeah. that at the fucking Boys Club.
Hey, a good salted bagel is good too. You know? Give me a nice salted bagel with a little cream cheese and a slice of tomato, salt and pepper. Woo! That's nice. A salted, good salted bagel. Yeah, you can go to Western Bagel.
Yeah, what's for breakfast at the Lisa at?
I said, but you know what actually isn't bad? The whole wheat pancakes at Denny's. They're only like $1.50 each, and then I had sugar-free syrup, which I didn't think was bad, but I probably just haven't had syrup for over a year.
You know what movie makes me hungry?
What?
And it's a good movie. That fucking chef movie.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I like that movie. Favreau did a good job. Very
Joey
good job.
Wasn't a fan.
What's for lunch?
You're not a fan?
I was a fan.
I did 16 scenes. I got nowhere. I did 8 scenes, 9 scenes. Nothing happened. I had to move on with my life.
You didn't like it?
It went from the same scenes.
It's true, but I like the movie.
Hit me with your dad. What's for lunch?
Lunch is, okay. I really thought hard about this. I'm going with Chinese food. General's chicken, egg roll, and dumplings.
From where? Where do you get an egg from?
No, well, I'm just saying ideal. I don't know
where
Boston? I get
them. In Boston?
Yeah, sure. Right.
And what's for dinner?
Sushi. I was going to get a steak, but I figured like sushi and like beef teriyaki.
That's what I have to deal with, beef teriyaki.
You don't like sushi? You like sushi.
I love sushi.
And
I
you get beef teriyaki.
Joe,
what are you talking
like
about?
You like a good chicken eggplant teriyaki. Parmesan.
I don't like eggplant.
No?
Nah, I like the like cheese. Eggplant. I take the cheese off. Yeah. All the cheese.
Well, you can't digest the cheese?
Break no, it. I love cheese. I don't like eggplant.
But you had my eggplant. Favorite the other night, what? The chicken parm. Oh, yeah.
Oh, from Dan Tanner's, the chicken parm.
Oh, Dan Tanner's?
Oh, shit.
Chicken parm, you like?
Fuck yeah.
It's good shit.
I like
right?
chicken parm sandwich from Jersey.
Yeah.
And shrimp
from Jersey,
parm.
That's good.
I love all that
chicken
shrimp
parm
bread.
Is good.
Oh, the shrimp parm with the fucking bread.
You got to see what I do with the olive oil. I put a little olive oil with a good piece of bread, right? Then I put grated cheese, salt and pepper. Oh, man. What a mixture that is. Mix that up. Grated cheese, salt and pepper, and a good olive oil, like a Sicilian olive, and then dip that sucker. But you got to mix it up with the grated. It has a flavor, salt and pepper.
French bread? You toast the bread or Italian
nah,
bread?
Nah, just Italian bread. Good.
From where? Where do you get
it? I got to go get fresh bread. I go to a few places. Yeah, I know good bread. I know. You got to get it fresh. Can't let it sit. You know, there's this bread at Domingo's that they have. It's very good. It's called, you know that bread I'm talking about?
The one they use for their sandwiches?
They use it, yeah.
Yeah,
but it's
good.
Very good bread, and it's great for dipping.
You know? Where they are, the John's in the valley right by me on Magnolia and Laurel Canyon. Like, it's the worst supermarket, but they always have fresh bread. Like, the bins are steaming, and the people come from, like, West Hollywood to get it.
Really?
It's crazy. It's really good bread.
You're a good man, Lisa.
I'm always on the lookout for food. You said I missed the Dunkin' Donuts, so I had
it just opened in Encino.
I did some research.
There?
Yeah, but you can't. I'm not going to wait in line.
Terrible.
I'm not going to wait in line.
Is there still a line?
No.
Eh, fuck that. I
had a huge line.
I don't wait in line for Dunkin'.
No.
I go to Dunkin' Donuts in New York, New Jersey. I don't wait in line for Dunkin'.
Listen, bro, on the way home, stop at Magnolia and River and
Colfax.
And Colfax.
Magnolia.
Get yum-yum donuts made by the Mexicans. Oh.
Get the glaze. That's
get
my
the
favorite.
Glaze. Go in there and get a dozen.
Is it open now?
24 hours.
Always open.
So where do I go?
Show them how you go, Lee. How do you go?
Where is it? Magnolia.
You make a U-turn right here. Stay on Lancashire. And go.
They got a good jelly donut.
Oh, they got a good everything.
Jelly donut though.
I like a good jelly.
Chocolate dipped in coconut. They got the glaze.
There's a place in Encino, K's Donuts. They're good. They're good.
Are they open right now?
No. So I gotta go to Yum Yum.
Yum.
I think I know what you're talking about.
By North Hollywood High School.
It's not too far from here, right?
No, 2 minutes. That's what I'm saying. Stop over there on the way home.
Bring some
surprise
donuts.
The kids.
Yeah.
They'll fucking love you forever. That or a Cuban sandwich? Motherfuckers will go crazy over.
A chocolate cream donut or something. Oh, man.
I'm going home in September. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm going to get some Chinese food from my spot. I'm going to get some calamari from my spot, Rudy's. I've been eating there since I'm 16. And I'm going to go to my other spot.
You say calamari, you say?
Oh, my God.
As the Italians say.
With medium sauce?
Calamari, yeah. If it been the, what was it, the, not Red Hook. The place at Sheepshead Bay. You ever been to Randazzo's?
22 fucking years ago. Yeah. 30 fucking
years ago, right? The sweet sauce. Oh, that's when you have calamari.
He went to Rudy's, right?
Yeah, he got mad at me because, okay, we had just started working together.
What'd you get at Rudy's?
Oh, you hated me. I wanted to order Well, I didn't want to order, but I was still too nervous to order something expensive. So I got like, I tried to order cheese ravioli, and you're like, you don't like a cheese ravioli.
I was gonna strangle.
So I think I got like shrimp scampi or something, which is good, but I was still too. I was like, oh, I don't think I should order anything expensive.
Fuck yeah, that's what we were there for, to eat like savages. You know what I'm saying? I'm not gonna take it to New York and make you eat like fucking cantina food. Take it to New York.
Where do you eat Italian food out here, Joe? What are you like?
I go to Mazzarino's.
Mazzarino?
That's it.
Yeah, you like that?
It's not that I like it. It's easy. The family likes it.
Right.
The bread is horrifically fucking bad. The spaghetti and meatballs are mezza morte. Last week I went for the fucking steak pizza hole. They gave me a steak with no sauce on it.
Oh, my God.
You know,
no, they didn't.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. I almost said something, but they don't know. The guy doesn't know. Listen to this. They got shrimp fried Diablo with a side of pasta.
Yeah.
I go, why don't you put it on the pot? Oh, we don't do that here. It's shrimp fried Diablo with a side of spaghetti and meat sauce.
The whole point is the pasta.
And the whole point is the pasta. They give you four shrimp in it. They just don't know.
They don't get
and
it.
And they try. They have escalope and beans. You have a cup. You will drink 80 glasses of water from how much salt that Mexican puts in.
Oh, my God.
There's so much salt they use.
When you make that right, the escalope with the beans.
Oh, it's delicious. Fantastic. It's the happy hour. It's the happy hour.
Fantastic meal.
At the bar. Escarole and beans with a nice cup of wine at the bottle. Yeah.
Escarole is great. You got to cook that right and then get the right beans. It's a fantastic dish.
Have you ever had the pasta fazool from Whole Foods? $13 for a cup. It's fucking horrific. It's like chili. It tastes like fucking chili. No.
I make my own pasta fazool.
Well, next time you make it, invite me, please, because I'm a big pasta fazool.
You got to come over.
That shit kills AIDS. If you make it right, that shit kills the HIV.
It'll kill it?
You freeze it, and you take it out in November after the first snowstorm, you could suck a crack hoe's dick.
Really?
You could suck Caitlyn Jenner's dick.
What's in it?
Pasta fazool?
Yeah.
The fucking that escarole, that grass.
Escarole?
Whatever they put in it. What's that grass in the...
I don't know.
What do you put in your pasta fazool?
I steam it and shit.
Beans? What else? What else? Garlic? Yeah. What else? Sauce? What else?
Yeah.
What kind of grass you putting there?
He really likes pasta fazool. Don't
yeah, what kind of grass you putting there? You got to put something in there.
I don't put no fucking grass. I use the scuttle.
Okay, where do you get the scuttle from?
I get it from the supermarket.
Okay, then. Nice. Yeah. That scuttle.
Where did you think you got it from?
Once he gets from somebody's backyard named Vinny. I don't fucking know. You got to ask. I think he imports
Which
it.
Which house did you go to, motherfucker?
There's no. Remember when fucking in My Blue Heaven, when Steve Martin went to the supermarket? What was he looking for?
Was it broccoli rob or something?
Something. Yeah. Broccoli rob, something.
That's bitter shit. I like it, but it's...
I don't like that shit.
Sometimes it's just too
fuck
bitter.
You,
I prefer the escarole.
I don't like broccoli.
Escarole is better.
Broccoli.
I know, something about...
Broccoli and cheese looks good, though. Broccoli with a little cheese on top when you're stoned, you'll give it a second look until you taste
even
it.
Even though broccoli rob, when it's, you know, when you make it right, it's not too bitter.
With melted cheese on it, you have.
Yeah, this guy likes cheddar cheese. He eats cheddar on everything.
Everyone eats cheddar.
No, they don't.
No.
Cheddar is what you eat when you fucking go to Catholic school.
I made some nice linguine with clam sauce today.
Yeah. See what I'm saying?
That was
you
good.
Eat cheddar cheese
no.
in your house?
No.
There's no cheddar cheese in
no
your fucking
cheese.
House.
Yeah.
American
I make
sliced,
it grilled cheese.
Thin.
Yeah,
but you use American cheese.
American cheese.
Sliced thin. That's what you do.
Yeah.
No more cheddar. Cheddar's for fucking, you know.
Someone has to support Vermont.
Vermont. Who gives a fuck about
we should
Vermont?
Have a fucking food show.
There's that's a dude who lives in Vermont.
People don't fucking know.
Fuck, that's what I'm saying. They don't know how to eat.
They've forgotten. This country has forgotten how to eat. They all eat cheap.
I'd like to do a Sunday show. Every Sunday, you know, we do a dinner. We had this idea about
lamb
Sunday
and
dinner.
Fucking
yeah,
everything.
Lamb chops, lamb.
Lamb's
pork
really good.
Chops.
Or you could do a different family dinner every
yeah,
Sunday.
Every
like a
Sunday
Jew
you
dinner,
do it. Right.
Italian
Jew dinner,
Cuban
Italian
dinner,
dinner, Cuban dinner,
dinner,
Filipino dinner.
How does that really work past like 15 episodes, though?
Well, then we go.
It's the people. It's a different couple every dinner.
Then we go to a couple different other Jews' house, all right?
No, it's the same place. Come over to my house Sunday.
From the other side of Israel and the other people from the other side of Israel, and they fucking eat cook something different. What's with the question? Let's go for the sponsors. Get the fuck out of here. Where's the air? I'm dying to heat
it. I feel it.
I think you're wearing a long sleeve shirt.
Yeah. I think those mushrooms are hitting me. I don't know what happened.
You took mushrooms?
No, I got no mushrooms.
I think you took mushrooms.
Hey, I'm sick and tired of telling you motherfuckers on it for all your supplement needs from New Mood to Shroom Tech, Sport, and Immune. Also, their bread and butter, the hemp protein, the chocolate is fucking delicious. Author Vanilla Ice IE, or give the, what else to try? Oh, fucking Alpha Brain. That's what I'm talking about here. Why fuck around, all right? Alpha Brain is one of the best nootropics on the market, complete with alpha, GPCs, and AC-1. Don't ask me what that is. I have no fucking idea. I know it works. I know that your memory's sharp. I know that you become sharp. Why take it from me? It's a money-back guarantee, and they don't even want the product back. Go to Honor.com and press in.
Church.
Oh, shit, C-H-U-R-C-H, and get 10% off your first order. They also have the Stay On It program that you can just fucking get it delivered to your door on the first of the month. How easy is that? Number two, Nailed It Life, a.k.a. Los Gumis Hermanos. You want to see the devil, whether it's a vapor pen or with Los Gumis Hermanos, the gummy bear, or the new chocolate bars, it don't fucking matter. They might be here Wednesday night. So we're going to do a podcast Wednesday afternoon, and Leo probably sleep the fucking night because they got 800 milligram chocolate bars or some shit. They said they're making a special one for Lee. But don't fucking take it from me. Go to nailedatlife.com. The vapor pen, the best on the market. You get 20% off. It's usually $50. We're going to give it to you for $40. Go to nailedatlife.com and press in.
Joey Diaz.
Joey Diaz, and get motherfucking 20% off your first order. You got a problem, you call David. He'll replace a fucking whatever you got, all right? Number three, my main motherfuckers, Hitty Cigs. The proof is in the vapor. 1,200 guaranteed hits. When you go to 7-Eleven and buy one of those ISIS cigarettes, how many hits you got in there? Maybe 82? Fuck you. With Hitty Cigs, you got 1,200. And they come in the cigar. They come in different flavors. And you get them in 24, 16, 8, and 0 milligrams. Who's better than fucking you? So go to HittyCigs.com and press in.
Joey's Church.
And get
5 for 50.
5 for 50 or 20% off. I don't know what deal they're running, but you ain't going to know till you get there, all right? Get down there, tell them Uncle Joey
sent. It'll be a surprise.
That's right. I want to give another shout out to Onnit, Nailed It Life, and HittyCigs.com for being tremendous sponsors and believing in us. And I want to thank you guys for fucking listening and watching and giving us the love we deserve. What's up, cocksucker?
All right, buddy. Thanks for having me, man.
I'm happy you came, man. Yeah. You make me fucking laugh like my nobody pleasure. Else, dog, because you do it on the natch. Everybody else tries to be funny. You do it on the fucking natch. Lee, put the air on.
It's on.
I'm sweating fucking bullets back here.
I think you might be having an issue then.
Maybe I do. I love you, cocksucker. Thank
me
you.
Me too. My pleasure.
Thank you, Lee, for coming on tonight.
My first, buddy.
You're not going to say thank you?
I am. What are you going to do? Yeah, I'm super high, though, so give me a second. This show is brought to you by Onnit.com. Go to Onnit.com and use Cobra Church to get 10% off all of their great optimization products like Alpha Brain, New Mood, Shroom Tech Immune, Shroom Tech Sport. Code word CHURCH to get 10% off. Go to nailedatlife.com and use code word Joey Diaz to get 20% off the premier vapor pen on the market for oil and wax smokers. And they're also the makers of Los Gumis Hermanos. And go to hitecigs.com and use code word Joey's CHURCH to get 5 hit e-cigs for $50.